Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Turns out, it appears it is Craig Breslow who drew front office report duties this week. And the Red Sox front office report is brought to you by Time Out Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof. Just go to timeoutmarket.com. Also brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Good morning, Craig Breslow.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's as much as I tell myself that it's not wise to kind of live in and die with every game. Last night was a good one. Last night was fun.
Yeah. I mean, nothing better than the walk-off, and this team is hanging around and still in it. And so quick question about when it comes to the subject of Tyler O'Neill. That guy is on a one-year deal here. I'm assuming that's somebody that you guys will look to talk to postseason and would like to see stay around here.
Yeah, you know, we'll obviously start to engage in those conversations, but I think we've all acknowledged that right-handed power plays really well at Fenway Park, and he's been a great fit. You know, he's been a really productive hitter when he's been able to stay on the field, and you know, I think we're seeing that right now. He's been on quite a hot streak, and he has the ability to carry this team and change games with a single swing.
Craig, when you look at where you are right now, 16 games left in the season, you're 4 games out of that third wild card spot. What's the? I understand you were able to win one last night with a walk off, but what's the morale like in that clubhouse with the players, with Alex Cora? What's the message that you guys are pushing, kind of with this last little stretch?
Yeah, you know, I think Alex all season has done a great job of keeping the group focused on the field and, you know, ignoring the noise, the adversity, the injuries. I think that's one of the benefits in a lot of ways of a young team. You know, guys that kind of show up every day don't really know any better. And, you know, I think Alex's message has been these games matter, right? Let's try to play our best baseball. Let's keep winning games. And we can't control what happens around us, but, you know, we've got a chance to make this interesting, and we're going to do that by continuing to play good baseball.
Craig, in the same breath of talking about Tyler O'Neill, the future of Nick Pivetta seems up in the air with him and the Red Sox. What do you hope to see out of him? Because he has come up big for you guys this season.
Yeah, he's been a really effective pitcher in this league for a long time. Someone that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and someone that I think he has talked about. You know, he's talked about how much he's enjoyed his time here. So, you know, another guy that we're obviously going to have conversations around. And you know, he's got a bit of a unique profile in the rotation as it's currently constituted, because he's got so much swing and miss to his game, which we saw last night and we've seen time and time again. Is the most effective way to get out. You know, his ability to generate swings and misses with his fastball and his breaking ball is something that we really, really value. And he's been a really good starter for us all season.
We love Liam Hendricks on this show, and I know he had some soreness after the rehab starter, the two starts in Worcester. And Alex Cora said the other day that it's getting close to time to make the decision that he won't pitch for the Sox this season, as he had hoped. Little bit about what you've seen from him as he's tried to come back from that surgery.
Yeah, so super competitive, outspoken, great personality, really a great guy to have around the clubhouse and have around the team. And, you know, he was adamant that he wanted to get back in 2025 and felt like he could kind of push the timeline. And in a lot of ways, he's done so. He didn't recover quite as well as I think he would have hoped and the medical staff would have hoped coming out of a couple of those games. So we just wanted to press pause and catch our breath a little bit. The good news is that there's no structural issues with the elbow, with the graft. We just want to make sure that we're balancing being responsible and thinking a bit about the longer term with the potential for him to impact our team in 2025. So, I think we'll continue to monitor that, check in with him, check in with the medical staff, and make a determination as to, kind of what's best for him.
Craig, why do these teams led by Cora have good first halves and then every year have a massive swoon following the All-Star break or the deadline? Why does this keep happening? You were 11 games over 500. Now you're back down to two. You've been back down around 500. What is the common thread?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. It's one we need to answer, though. I don't think that this is an Alex Cora thing. I think this is, something that requires us to look at the composition of the roster, to look at the workloads, to make sure that I and we in the office are, bringing in enough depth that we can weather injuries, bumps and bruises, that we're still pushing development so that guys are better in the second half than they are in the first. And those are all of the questions that we need to be asking. I think, one good example here would be pitching, right? Where we came out of the gates pitching really, really well, largely built on the back of heavy spin usage, heavy secondary usage, and avoiding fastballs. And then there was a period of time where, it seemed pretty obvious that the league had adjusted, that our mistakes in the zone were getting hit, particularly our breaking balls. And maybe we didn't adjust as quickly as we should have. That's something as an organization we have to make sure we're staying on top of, is identifying these trends and trying to be a little bit more proactive. But those are questions that we are asking of ourselves and will continue to ask. At the end of the day, though, I would just reiterate that, I don't think that's an Alex Cora thing. I think that the responsibility falls on all of us.
Would you say then, was it on you for not doing more at the deadline?
I suppose in some ways the answer to that could be yes. It's impossible to forecast, what the performance or health will be of guys that you bring in. But at the time, given the information that we had, we executed what we thought was a successful deadline in terms of wanting to add to the bullpen, wanting to add to the rotation, wanting to add a right-handed bat. Obviously, unfortunately, three-quarters of that group, ended up on the IL, and that's something that, we couldn't have predicted.
Well, Craig, with that being said, I know we're still in the season, but is there going to be a big push by front office and ownership to really be big players in the I don't want to say free agent market just necessarily, but going after maybe elite players this off season?
Yeah, I think I said it last year, I'll say it again, we have to be open to all paths to improving the team. Obviously, we've still got 16 games and hopefully more left, and that's where our focus is right now. But I think regardless, one thing we can take from 2024 is the development on the field of a core group of players that we should be building around. And the recipe for success here for a long time has been drafting and developed homegrown talent while also supplementing that via free agency and trade. And I don't see a reason for that to change.
Craig, we didn't get the opportunity to ask anybody about this last week for the front office report, but Rafael Devers made headlines last week when he didn't talk to media. I just was wondering your feelings behind that. I know Alex Cora is standing behind his decision not to talk to media, but is there a policy within the Red Sox organization for players to talk? And what is Rafael Devers' reasoning for not wanting to talk to members of the press?
Yeah, no, I think it would be unfair for me to speak, you know, on behalf of or for Rafi. What I can say is, you know, I know this is a guy who, you know, goes out there and plays every day, despite not feeling 100%, despite, you know, not wanting to make a big deal out of the fact that, you know, he probably would benefit from or would have benefited from some time away. He's a guy that wants to be out there on the field competing for his teammates. And, you know, there are times when, you know, there are frustrations or disappointments in performance, either individually or as a team. And, you know, some people in those moments choose to, you know, stand in front of the media and answer questions and others don't. And I don't know that, you know, this is kind of quite the story that it became. You know, I think we accept, you know, that Rafi is a phenomenal player who has the chance to, you know, to have a Hall of Fame career. And there are days where he's going to answer questions and there are days where he isn't. And, you know, I'm not sure that that has, you know, kind of this outsized impact that others would maybe believe it to have.
James Paxton told our guy Rob Bradford that he plans to retire at the end of the season. Has he shared that with the organization as well?
Yeah, so we had, you know, talked about that kind of in you know, in the aftermath of the injury, and, you know, how that was not the way that he or anyone else you know, wanted to stare down retirement. And so, as a credit to him, he's still showing up every day and going through rehab, you know, with the hopes of coming back in the postseason helping us. You know, I think that's a great motivation. Hopefully we can do our part and we can kind of realize that together.
You'd probably get Rich Hill back again next year if necessary. Oh, I don't get it. Not even a chuckle on that one.
I gave it a chuckle.
All right,
you've been asking his top three bins.
Oh yeah, speaking of that, Pearl Jam Sunday and Tuesday. I'm going Tuesday. Are you going either or both nights? That is your favorite band.
It is my favorite band. I am definitively not going on Sunday. I'm actually going to head down to New York Tuesday, TBD.
Okay.
And so I feel like this moment has been building for the last 6 months, and yes, I'm disappointing so many people if I don't actually end up going. But yeah. I will figure that out.
I mean, well, you and I, maybe we hang out in the pit Tuesday night.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I couldn't think of anything else that I'd rather be doing.
Greg will be there Tuesday and Wednesday. If you don't make it Tuesday, he'll be there for Post Malone Wednesday.
Be there for Post Malone, TBD. Yeah. All right, Craig, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good morning.
All right, there he is, Craig Breslow. And putting it a little bit on the front office and the ownership.
Huh?
When it comes to the roster,
right?
Not on who you want to put it on when it comes to the August, September failures of this team, which is Alex Cora.
Well, Curtis asked a great question. What is the reason why it seems like that Cora's teams over the last, you know, three seasons after the All-Star break or the trade deadline, like Curtis said?
Well, it's 4 out of 5 seasons where they're going to finish out of the playoffs.
Right, but I mean, the struggle, and I did that with one of my leads, the struggles that he has, especially in September, what is it? You know, what causes that?
508 texter nailed it with a Breslow nugget, and that is that they are going to lowball Tyler O'Neill.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the injuries. You know, he said when he's available on the field.
It is a thing I like to do with all members of the Red Sox front office, which is ask a question about someone that is not the person I'm talking to. They will inevitably say it's not their fault. And then the follow-up is, so it's your fault, and then that's not their fault. So it's always no blame anywhere. We all keep going on the happy bus known as the Red Sox missing the playoffs and being mediocre again.
He kind of put a little bit on himself.
Yeah, he did.
No. And then at the end he said, well, but at the information we had at the time, I made the decision that was best. Just like he said that he would have made the Chris Sale trade again, even though he's the Cy Young winner in the National League, guy Vaughn Grissom who can't even get on the field.
I'm very hopeful. Like, if you look at this team,
mm-hmm.
you got Trevor Story back last night, mm-hmm. and you have him next season.
Right.
You have the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball, and you know, if you are willing to invest in the team in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to starting pitching, you are going to be a good baseball team.
Right, and there'll be a couple guys in free agency that'll be pretty good if you're willing to go after them. There'll be some bats out there. You know, Juan Soto will be a free agent. We've kind of talked about Vlad Guerrero Jr. I know he's not going to be a free agent, but maybe you look to trade for a right-handed bat like that. So that's why I asked, are you going to be in the market? I said elite players. I probably should have said, are you going to be in the market for
expensive players?
Well, I mean, just high-end, like, talent that's proven.
Craig.
When we look at it. So that's kind of the biggest thing, like a splash when you go, oh, wow, that's pretty cool that the Red Sox signed that player.
Yeah.
Not like, who's that? Where'd he come from?
Well, you always bring up, you're a big Juan Soto guy.
Well, I mean, he's a free agent, and if you're in the market for somebody of that stature, like, isn't that like, I think Pete Alonso's going to be a free agent. That those are the guys that you'll go, oh, okay. Wow, all right.
That's a splash.
That's a splash.
Okay.
I know you talk about pitching. What's the kid from Baltimore? He's going to be a free agent.
Sidney Ponson.
No, I think it's the Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns?
Yeah. Like, is, you know, you'd be like, oh, okay, yes. I heard of this guy.
About that.
Rather than it's like, yeah. Who's the guy we got that we traded? I already forgot his name. The bat that
I'm Craig.
Curse, you was laughing at me about the hitter they brought in.
Right.
What the hell was his name again?
Craig.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Remember the guy they traded for? You were like,
Danny Jansen?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
When we're like, who's that guy?
Right. Wiki thought he was the second coming of, you know,
I thought he was Carlton like Mike Piazza.
Right.
Well, I couldn't be more excited. It's just 156 days until truck day, Curtis.
Oh.
So,
how funny would it be if you see Breslow at Pearl Jam and he's absolutely jamming out, like, strumming the fake guitar,
right.
Like
he's like, you know, they never play Yellow Ledbetter. Haven't played it since 97.
Get back up there, Eddie Vedder, you bum.
All right, let's get to Courtney and to what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Sox take down the Orioles 5-3. Nick Pivetta went 6 innings, giving up 1 run on 4 hits while striking out 9. The guys now on the road to take on the Yankees tonight. 7:15 first pitch with Cooper Criswell getting the start. You can hang out with Joe Weil at 6:15 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app.
So the Red Sox are like dumber and dumber? You're saying there's a chance?
We're saying there's a chance.
Chance, Wiggy.
That John Denver's full of.
The Yankees may mail it in a little bit here, end of the season. So maybe you have a chance.
Did you see that awkward story about Michael Kay and Flaherty in the Yes booth, where they were bitching about how much time they spend together on the road?
Yes. And then it was Michael Kay who said that Flaherty had told the bosses that he didn't want to work with him on the broadcast.
Awkward.
Yeah, it was very strange.
So strange.
Some WNBA news. Asia Wilson broke the WNBA single season record passing Jewel Lloyd yesterday. So that's exciting for
her.
She's
a baller.
Yep.
And I think she's hooking up with Bam Adebayo.
Really?
Not
in MIAO. Yeah, they're always, they were down. The mayor put them on blast because they were down there and then there was some event and the mayor was saying, oh, it's good to see that Asia Wilson is down here. And we got to thank Bam Adebayo for that. They were caught in Vegas together when the Olympic trials were going on.
Nice.
So, you know what? Hey, good for Bam.
And based on your TikTok algorithm, you could probably describe what color panties she wears.
Yeah. Oh,
hey, Lord. She's a tall, what they say, she's a tall glass of water.
Yep, she sure is. We have an AFC East showdown tonight. The Bills are in Miami to take on the Dolphins, kickoff at 8:15. The Subaru of New England all-wheel drive away is now going on. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
Courtney, what the kids say, I wouldn't mind trying to climb that tree.
Yeah, climb that tree.
You're very up-to-date on all of the gossip. It's really, it's interesting to me.
Well, I feel like it's part of the job, and it's always popping up on... You know, it's always popping up on social media or something like that, you know?
Yes.
Are you big on Dumois?
I've heard of it. Like, you know, that's the new word, but I think, you know.
No, it's not. Nope.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It's like
no, you're thinking of demure. She's talking about the gossip.
It's an account that gives you celebrity gossip.
Oh, I thought you meant the word that everybody was talking about.
Yes, you are very demure,
very
and you are also very what?
Dapper.
Close.
Starts with an M.
Magnificent.
No. Mindful.
Mindful. Yeah. Maybe because a lot of my gossip tends to come from the ratchet in black Twitter world.
Right.
So
same.
Social media.
I understand.
So maybe like some of the other stuff you more. I'm
demure,
not.
Demure.
Yeah.
Mindful.
I'm on Black Sports Online.
No, I think,
world
I
style.
Think,
I call
I think,
it BSO.
Media. Yeah. Media
I think
takeout.
Demure would fall in both categories. Yeah.
Yeah. Media takeout. Bossup. Yeah. Very good site.
Boss
Shade.
Up.
I love me some Perez Hilton.
Yeah. He's old school. Now it's Christopher Lee.
Lee, right?
Yeah, he's the one that's breaking all the stuff.
No,
yeah.
Now it's Dumois.
No, Chris Lee had Beyonce on
it. Right. Thank you.
Yep.
Curtis has the weather.
I don't want to jinx it, but this has been a perfect show.
It really has.
66 and sunny. The fact that Shime immediately spoke perfect Wiggy in that moment and knew exactly what he was meaning to say.
I would say my translations of Wiggy are getting better.
Unbelievable.
Wiggy is very demure, very moronic.
Hey,
but mindful.
You ready for a dad joke, Craig?
Yes.
Do you know what you use to translate Wiggy?
What?
The Rosetta Stone. Wow. Afternoon High of 81.
Do you know, Curtis, do you know where you go if you want to see how you look in a new shirt?
Where's that?
The mirror.
Hey!
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Letting It Breathe for Kurt Doggy. Great request, Curtis. Mm-hmm.
VMAs last night,
yep.
They performed that together. I just love Jelly Roll, and I love it. Is so amazing the footage that Eminem has that plays in the background of this. I don't know if it's a music video, I guess that's what it is. It was on the stage yesterday of his, like, awful periods as a dad where he was absent for his daughter and where he is now. It's a pretty, those two are pretty great beacons of hope for people that struggle in addiction. So.
Yes. But yet somebody
here we go.
Continues to deny the man the honor of being a top 5 rapper all
Nothing
time.
Nothing wrong with that. He's in my top 10. His new album, The Death of Slim Shady, is pretty good. And go check out Murdergram with him and LL Cool J. Mm-hmm. He was spitting. He's not my top 5, yeah. But he's top 10, Greg.
Well, I bet if he slipped you $100,000, you'd say he was great.
Nah, I still wouldn't put him. I mean, he's good. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah,
he's not my top 5.
I can't believe he's not in your top 5 rappers all time. I mean, we've argued it forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Curtis, 617 text for you on the Subaru of New England text line. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Listening late on the app. Reading verbatim, the lead split pea soup to Curtis for his lead on Robert Kraft this morning. So
right.
Don Van Natta wrote a big piece at ESPN.com, and it's all about how Robert Kraft wants to be in the Hall of Fame and isn't, but should, but the motives behind why and those that are voting are explained. And I would just say, reiterating that, we all believe he should be in the Hall of Fame, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
I there's no reason why he shouldn't. When you look at the other owners who are in there, and we talked about this briefly when you did your lead this morning at 6:30. Jerry Jones is in.
Right.
Right?
Not exactly a beacon of perfect behavior.
Right. I mean, who else is in there for owners?
Ralph Wilson.
Eddie DeBartolo. Who
yes, Eddie
like,
DeBartolo.
Who had like had his own issues with the law.
I think Al the
Rooney,
Davis.
The original Rooney. John Mara's dad, Wellington Mara, my guess is.
Yeah, the owner, Pat Bowlen, who used to, looks like Dan Rooney's in there.
I thought you were going to say Dan Snyder.
No, Dan Rooney and Art Rooney.
I mean, this play, like people like Courtney and Shime don't would never understand it. Got to be old head to get it. But this was the dumpster fire of the NFL before Robert Kraft.
Yeah, we watched Dynasty.
Yeah, 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 you're right. So, you know, I remember, I think we did this when we were doing, what was the Boomer segment we used to do,
Sean? Ask a Boomer.
Ask a Boomer.
Ask a Boomer.
Is it Boomer for you to forget the name of the segment?
Like, when I was growing up, my old man used to be pissed because the games were not on, you know, we had three television stations that we could watch. That was it.
It's crazy.
Channel 4, 5, and 7. And the games were not on. They were blacked out because they would never sell out. Robert Kraft changed that whole entire situation and also created, as the owner, with help, a lot of help from Tom Brady, some, we can argue how much help from Bill Belichick, and from Wiggy and from Teddy Bruschi and Ty Law and Randy Moss and Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski, the greatest dynasty that was ever created in the NFL.
Yeah, so Robert and Myra.
Yeah, of course he belongs in the NFL Hall of Fame. Like, if those other owners are in.
Stupid.
Of course he does.
It is the dumbest thing. Anybody, it's just so dumb. That you can't even make a good argument, even if he had been pushing, because I heard Keith and Jones talk about this. He's been pushing to try to get in since after the first three Super Bowls. Even if he doesn't get the next three, he still deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Because think about this. Six Super Bowl titles.
Yeah.
There were two other Super Bowls that they lost. So that's a total of eight Super Bowls.
I heard Schefter yesterday with Arcand and Andy Hart.
When was that?
Huh?
When was that?
Yesterday.
What time of day?
Oh, that's the afternoon show.
Oh. Just wanted to clarify.
And he was worked up about it. Like, Robert, you have that? Are you giving me a thumbs up because you have the audio? All right, here we go.
It's not even a question. It's ridiculous that he's not. To me, it's absurd. Considering all that he's done for that franchise, for that area, for the league, he is not even borderline Hall of Fame. He is 100% Hall of Famer. And the fact that he's not in, it always pisses me off that these things are drawn out longer than they should be. What are we talking about? Like, this year, I remember when I was a voter and I was campaigning or arguing on behalf of Randy Gradishar, the former Broncos linebacker, and he didn't get in. And the years went by, and he got a lot older. And lo and behold, Randy Gradishar got in this year. I don't know. What did I miss in the 20 years that he didn't get in? Did something happen? Did he all of a sudden become a Hall of Famer from the time that I was arguing his case to now? To me, it's absurd. And people are made to wait way longer than they should, and they don't get to enjoy it as long as they should. Ken Stabler gets into the Hall of Fame after he's lost his life. All of a sudden, he became a Hall of Famer? He was a Hall of Famer all along. Robert Kraft is a Hall of Famer.
Sounded good, though. Like,
yeah.
And he's spot on. He is spot on.
What, the devil's advocate, and I agree, he should be in the Hall of Fame. He's had bad divorces. Parcells and Kraft don't get along. Now Belichick and Kraft don't get along. And the ending with Tom going to win elsewhere, we, you know, whoever it was, I don't want to relitigate it, but all of those things, along with the Spygate and that reaction, those are the reasons people present.
Yeah, but don't you think that an owner's number one job is to make the franchise money? Like, he is an unbelievable, probably one of the best businessmen in New England, maybe in the country. So if you're Robert Kraft, like, I don't really care about how his relationship ended with Parcells or with Belichick.
Yeah.
Like, I care more about what he did for a region when bringing football back to life. And also Spygate, and I do understand now why it was such an important part of the Dynasty documentary, because he was the one who was saying he knew nothing about it. And he went up to Bill and said, you know, how much trouble is this going to get us in? How much did this help?
Are we doing this? If you are, you're a schmuck.
Here's the biggest problem with the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's the thing. He wants you to believe he's powerless when the team gets in trouble, but he's powerful when they win.
But that doesn't matter. Here's the biggest issue with Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame people should be voted in on what they do in their respective sport on the field, you know, as an owner.
So nothing that happens outside of that should matter.
Right.
I mean, like, Spygate is Spygate, if you want to argue that, that's on the field. But
so then Belichick wouldn't get in.
But it's already been adjudicated.
Right.
Like, it's already been decided. It wasn't that big of an advantage.
Right. And so if you have issues with players, or you let Brady go, or like, you know, Jerry Krause with the Chicago Bulls, right? Let Michael Jordan go. But you know, you still was a part of helping the Bulls and winning six championships. Like, letting Bill go, or that kind, like, that has
A texter points says it perfectly. He has more championship trophies than any other owner.
Right.
What are we talking about? Right. Why are we talking about it? Robert Kraft should be in there.
And it shouldn't be about issues about, you know, like the dynasty that he did and all this other stuff. It's is when he's on this football team, what did he help to do to win championships, to build this football team up? That should be the only. I don't even think it should matter that he helped with the lockout at what that point in time. I mean, you could put that to him, but to me, it's still, he was part of.
But that photo, the people that I'm arguing the other side, I don't agree with it. But that photo with Jeff Saturday, you know, it was the story was that Kraft was this magnanimous guy that did all these things for the players,
right?
And they were pushing that. And I think there are some people that vote on this that feel like it is too much of a well-crafted PR game, as opposed to,
pun intended.
Oh yeah, look at that! Didn't even mean to do it. But
as opposed to what?
As opposed to just an organic, you know, evolution.
But he's pushing it because he should be in.
Listen, Curtis, you ran for class president, if I remember correctly, in high school. Did you vote for yourself?
I did. Okay. Ninth grade. I don't know if I've told you this. I lived in England.
Then you're a real schmuck.
And I was president and one term.
Yeah, I mean the and also I think Schefter made a really good point yesterday where you ought to give it to people when they have the opportunity to enjoy it.
Right.
Because it's a well-earned honor.
And I think it's pretty clear where Schefter gets his info.
This is Mark from Beverly. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey. First time calling in. I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course.
But I think pretty much Wiggy hit it on the head with that one. You know, think about it. Kraft, best stats ever for an owner. And I'm kind of comparing to, like, the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. Barry Bonds, best stats ever. Why didn't he get in? He so-called cheated. Why isn't Kraft getting in?
Yeah.
You know, people say he's been cheating for 20, 25 years. You know, Kraft saved the game. The long ball, home runs, saved baseball. Yep. So I kind of think that's the comparison right now. Maybe that's why he's not getting in.
Like, O.J. Simpson's in the Hall of Fame, and he should be in the Hall of Fame, and he had off-the-field issues, but it's...
Off-the-field issues?
Right.
But yeah, he tried to cut a couple of people's heads off.
Putting those in anywhere near the same sentence.
No. The only thing I'm saying is that...
Darren Sharper had a couple issues with women.
No, but the point I'm making is you should be in the Hall of Fame based on what you do as a player and owner for what happens in the sport, on the field, on the court, on the ice. Like, off the field stuff, Grant, I think Curt Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, like, so the off the field stuff should, Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Derek.
Oh, God.
Hey, guys. So, Greg, tell me something. Do you think it has anything to do with the massage parlor?
It shouldn't.
You think it has anything to do with Florida?
Jerry, have you seen?
That's the only thing I can think of.
Jerry Jones settles another lawsuit, like a paternity suit, every every.
Right. He's a walking Maury Povich episode.
It should have nothing to do with. Wiggy's right. It should have nothing to do with your personal life, what you do or don't do. Who gives a rat's ass about that?
Right. Like, and let me just say something. Courtney hit the nail right on the head. I mean, he's like literally, is Bob Kraft not like literally the best owner in all of freaking sports, for crying out loud? Well, like, it is not inaccurate. He gives money to everybody. He's the most generous freaking guy.
Yes.
He cares about the region. He used to have season tickets.
Yep.
I mean, give me a freaking break. No. And he had nothing to do with the cheating.
No. It's
in my mind.
And it wasn't even cheating as far as I'm concerned. Everybody else was doing it.
If the Colts win a couple more championships, shouldn't Jim Irsay be in the Hall of Fame? Regardless of all the stuff that might have happened. Like, that's
probably should skip the dinner part with the drinks and stuff.
But he did pay a ton of money to ship like a whale from one part of the world to another.
That's right.
But Greg,
save that.
A whale.
What do we do? Didn't we have a big thing with Courtney about that?
Yes.
Yes.
But she wishes you wouldn't bring that up, Curtis.
I'm sorry.
I stand by it. I still don't understand how you transport a whale on a plane, but...
No, it is difficult. You need to keep it wet.
Right.
But it is...
Do you know why it is necessary to sometimes ship a whale through the air in a bunch of water in a plane?
You
don't know?
No.
You don't know?
Something is up in the ocean right now.
Why, yeah.
Yes.
Way ahead of your time.
That is true.
That is why. But what?
No. I was just going to say that when, damn, man, I done forgot what I was going to say.
Oh,
and it was a good point, too.
Where's the Houston airport?
It was a really, really good point. It was about the Hall of Fame.
You want to hang on to it? We'll try to get it back?
I'm trying to get
it
back.
Sorry, I totally whale blocked you.
Oh, man, it was such a good thing, too.
We will, we'll hallucinate you and see if we can get it back during the break. We
find it.
Well, you said see if I can. Okay, I was nervous there for a minute. We'll be right back. I can't believe it. Almost already time to say goodbye. I got to get out of here anyway, get all my stuff done because we have a big team building corporate outing this afternoon.
Hell yeah.
Jones and Keith coming up. Adam Jones, will we see you this afternoon?
I will be there.
Okay,
there.
Excellent.
Ready to grab a few... How many drinks can we have at this thing?
As
many as you want.
Yeah.
It's unlimited.
Ooh, open bar.
I scalp my drink tickets.
And whores de avoirs?
There will be food there.
Oh, there will be food?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
A food truck.
Like what? Give me an idea. Deep fried ranch.
They have a bunch of food. We are doing our outing at Cisco in the seaport.
Of course we are.
Out of doors brewery.
Shimes like
Greg plants it at the seaport just so he doesn't have to actually go anywhere.
Shime.
Feel your pain, brother.
That is called looking a gift horse in the mouth.
Ooh. Yep.
A gift horse that I have to drive an hour through rush hour traffic to get to?
Yeah, a hike.
Shime.
I used to have to do that.
If you would like, next time you could plan the company outing, I will remove myself from the process.
I thought he was going to pay for your Uber. That's what I thought he was going to offer.
I would be happy to if that's the way. Are you coming this afternoon?
I was thinking about
it. Okay, excellent. Well, we'll see if you can get in.
Well, the next one will be... next one will be in Lowell.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a lot to like about Lowell.
That'll be a good,
plans it.
Company function. We have party bus out there.
I like the seaport. Works for me.
It works for you.
I might great bike it over
works
there.
Works for me.
Yeah.
It's nice for people to get out and see the beautiful city we live in.
Easy from Charlestown?
Yeah.
Piece of cake? I'll get right over there. Yeah. Yes. Not a problem.
Is James invited or no? Can I bring him?
Yeah, kids are allowed.
Yes, of course.
But you got a plus one, too. I'm bringing Santo.
Oh, you are?
Yep.
Okay.
Excellent.
There's a plus one.
Wow.
Plus one.
I did not tell my wife about that. Okay.
Well, I mean, is she available or is...
Somebody's going to watch the kid.
Just do what I do. Just have her show up with you. They can't say no.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What are they going
to
say?
I'm always worried they're going to say no to just me. Never mind my plus one.
So there you go. You're fine.
I would say certainly don't want the night job to interfere with the day job, but we could turn it into a... Thursday night football watching outing right afterwards.
Now we're talking.
All right, I'll be at Echelon at 8.
you already know, based on the Herald, if you want me there, it's going to cost you some money.
That's a good point.
It's going to cost you some coin.
Does it seem a little aggressive to pay somebody $100,000 to coach football in high school?
I was surprised. I was like, man, Wiggy, you got to get a little more out of Brockton there. But okay, so yeah. 100K.
And that's lightweight. Coaches are making more than that.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. I thought your coordinators would be making 100K. Yeah. That's what I thought.
And I was working two jobs. So technically, coaches only work one.
And really weak sauce by the writer. I reached out to him, haven't heard back. I mean, to do that story and not reach out to the superintendent or Wiggy is pretty weak.
It's all good, though. You know what I mean? Hey, life's good. You can't complain about things. You know what I'm saying? My grandmother used to say to me, you can't complain about spilled milk. All you can do is clean it up.
Amen.
Fair. Well, Brockton, if you need a coach for 80K, I'm in. I'll undercut that.
Hey,
yeah.
Listen, Brockton, if you need a coach for 50K, I'll do it. I can't
admit that. Well, Wiggy is negotiating against himself.
Yes.
What are you guys doing today?
Oh, lots of stuff. We're going to look ahead to Patriots and Seahawks. We'll circle back to some of the craft stuff that we did yesterday. A little bit of Red Sox as well. I heard Breslow with you guys ready to rock out at Pearl Jam. So we'll do a little bit of Red Sox as well.
Yeah. Well, I heard you yesterday. You're like a lot of people. You're kind of back in on this Patriots team.
Yeah.
After one win.
I think 3-0 is not a crazy thing at all, which is nuts
3-0?
With this team.
Yeah. You think they beat the Jets?
I think they definitely beat Seattle, and I think they can beat the Jets. The Jets looked terrible the other day.
Okay.
No?
All right.
Defense, though. It's
That's
a
good
defense.
D. And I don't think that.
I mean, they couldn't stop Jordan Mason the other day.
Yeah, I get it. That San Fran offense is good.
That's true. It's a different kind of offense.
And I think the Jets defense will tighten up. That's not like what we've seen from the Jets defense. Week one, all right, I kind of throw week one out the window for everybody. I give everybody a pass. Then let's kind of see how you bounce back week two. I think the offense will be better. Lazard drops a third down right in his hands, changes momentum of the game. So, you know, I think they could beat Seattle. I mean, we could get into the mode of every game Sunday. Can they beat the Jets? Yeah.
Okay, good. 3-0. Good. You're with me. 3-0.
No, I said, can they?
Yeah, they can. They can. 3-0. Right. Good.
Well, you know what? It's possible I can jump off this building and not break any bones.
Yeah.
That is a possibility, but
got a lot of money for the medical bills.
All right. Well, have a great show.
Thank you.
And then see you at Cisco this afternoon.
We'll see you tonight.
For,
yeah.
A little team building. And we are back tomorrow morning at 6 on a Patriots Friday with Patriots linebacker Jelani Tavai. Thank you for your patronage.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.